Hey, everybody. Fantastic episode of The Morning Show today. We talk about which tokens are most likely to go on a run, whether it's Solana, Ethereum, Ronin Token, Bitcoin, AVAX, and others. We also talk about Kix's perspective on the market, where we're at now, what moves he made before the end of the year, and other things. So it's actually a very, very interesting episode of the show. Kix is here, and I do my best to have him brain dump everything that he's thinking about. We always try to take advantage of having Kix on the show. Wanted to give a quick shout out to our partners at Unsellable NFTs. Go to the nifty.com/unsellable to learn more about Unsellable NFTs platform. They help you tax loss harvest and offset your unsellable NFTs, you know, hence the name, the NFTs that you can't get rid of because they have no liquidity. Unsellable makes it very, very easy for you to offload those and have an automated solution to your taxes so that you can offset gains from equities, NFTs, or crypto. So check out the nifty.com/unsellable. Hope you enjoyed the show. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Wednesday, December 27th. You've tuned into the NFT Morning Show. Run the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time each and every day. Been doing that, or each and every weekday, I should say. Been doing that for about 2 years now. Got a lot to dig into today, a lot to talk about. We're going to be discussing the roller coaster day for Solana and crypto yesterday. We're going to be talking about whether meme coin season has ended or if this is just the time to buy the dip. And lastly, we're going to ask Kix, who's on the show today, why he decided to sell some of his crypto positions yesterday of all days. So it's going to be a lot of fun to dig into that. Real quick, I want to give a shout out to the partners of today's show over at Unsellable NFTs. Whoever you are, if you're listening to this show, there is a very high probability that you have a real use for Unsellable NFTs. I'm assuming you have some scam NFT project, some rug pull in your hidden wallet that you bought. You bought it for 0.06 ETH. You bought it for 0.11 ETH. You bought it for 0.18 ETH. And you can't sell it anymore because no one's buying it. There's no liquidity. It's just sitting there. The automated way to take care of that and to take advantage of tax loss harvesting and actually position yourself in the best way possible for your taxes is to use Unsellable NFTs. We talk about projects like Outlaws. That was going to be the Western Azuki. That's worth zero. There's zero offers on it. You can't sell that, but you can sell it to Unsellable NFTs for a penny. It'll mark it as a loss on your 2023 tax bill, and it'll write off some gains that you had this year in other places, whether it was NFTs, crypto, or even trading equities. So if you're interested in tax loss harvesting and saving money on your taxes, go to the nifty.com/unsellable. That's nifty.com/unsellable. And make sure that you do this before the 31st. So before the last day of the year for it to count for this tax year. But anyway, getting into the meat and potatoes of the show, Kix, what's going on, amigo? How you doing? You are muted, sir.
You know, like, fine.
You must have hit that. Can you hear me now?
Yes, now I can hear you. You had the long neck thing going.
Yeah, dude. I can't. You know how the soundboard, like some, you can set it so it loops, so you like never can turn it on. I'm still trying to figure out some of these soundboard things. But I'm doing phenomenal. Had a great Christmas. Got some Crocs. Crocs are phenomenal technology. If you want to talk about a tech product, get yourself some Crocs, man. Phenomenal tech, two modes. You know what I mean? Just like I hate wearing like slippers, even though I like the comfort of slippers, because there's no base. You know what I mean? You're just like kind of falling all over the place. These things, sturdy.
You like the air conditioning, so your feet never get sweaty.
And I'm a big winter thick sock guy. So to be able to wear the thick socks, bucket that airflow, you know, so you're not sweating, just phenomenal technology.
Well, it sounds very technical. Crocs are making a huge comeback. Interesting. Did you get a themed pair of Crocs, or are they just normal Crocs?
No, yeah, they're just straight up normal Crocs. They don't even have like the holes on the top. They just have the side holes. So you can't like put a little widget in there, whatever you call it, a little gizmo, a little hoo dad.
I believe they call it, they call them gibbets are the
names.
Can't put
gibbet in there. No gibbet slots.
Anyway, let's.
I like it. Yeah. I appreciate that gift. We haven't even shared what gifts we all got. Like, Pio, what'd you get for Christmas?
I don't have my mom buy me anything for Christmas. You know, we don't, because we just don't do that. But we're going to go see, a play together, you know, which my mom really likes. So that'll be a nice thing to do.
I fucked up the gifts. I messed up gifts awfully.
You're on the wrong mic. You're on the wrong mic, Big Dog, but we do want to hear about how you messed up gifts.
Yeah, so there's two ways you can mess up gifts. One is not realizing to buy them until the 24th. That's one way. Yeah, on that.
Well, actually not realizing that the gift you got was not a gift and that you were still supposed to get a gift. That was the situation for me. I thought the trip was a gift. No. No, the trip itself, was not a gift.
The trip isn't a gift, you idiot.
No, it has to be tangible, something they can hold and carry and look nice. So that's what the women like on the gift side.
You spend thousands of dollars to get to the place where you can actually deliver and provide the gift. So that's like a key thing that a lot of people mess up. Look, step one, never give a gift in the place where you reside, because that's just going to mess it up. First, what you got to do is make an investment in a destination that you go to. The hotel that we stayed in, the room came with a new Christmas tree that you could dress up and ornaments and everything else associated.
Like fresh, like a real tree, fresh.
Brand new pine tree. There. That was pretty awesome. And honestly, I highly recommend it. That side of things. What I didn't realize on Christmas Eve, we're just sitting in the living room area of this room, and I look down and there's a gift under the tree, and I'm just like,
this is my worst nightmare. This is literally my worst nightmare here. See, this is why the divorce rate was lower in the 1950s, not because men were any smarter, because a lot of men had a secretary, and the secretary would run them through this scenario and prevent these kind of things happening, which is why the divorce rate in the 1950s was like 20%, and now it's like 60%.
It borderline may be relationship ending. I don't know. Like, it feels like we're on tenuous.
There's still time to make up for it, because there's New Year's Eve, and I feel like New Year's Eve is still a great day to give a gift. I was late. Amazon didn't deliver, because Amazon is just rubbish in Europe. They don't do that whole New York in 2 hours. So my gift didn't even come, and it's actually just arrived now. So you've still got time.
The gift that I received was a very expensive belt from a high-end brand name.
And which is so you. It's so you to have like a $500 belt.
I was like, what?
Here's the thing, Nick.
I did need a belt, but I mean, I'm just like, yo, I'm not rolling around in a $400 belt. I'm not fucking
big Louis V logo on your waist.
Nick, if this makes you feel any better, my wife, a big thing for her, she loves Christmas stockings. It was a whole tradition with her family, like a nice stuffed Christmas stocking. And she even gave me a list of things she wanted in a Christmas stocking. And I bought one of those things. And the plan was to go to like Ulta, Sephora, you know, go to a couple stores and really fill it out. Let's just say I
Sephora.
Yes, that's how the French call it. Let's just say I forgot to do that. And so it comes Christmas Eve night and I am in a panic. And so what I did was I went and I grabbed Halloween candy that we hid for my kids and I put that in there. And then I got a client sample from back in my marketing days out from my office, and I put the client sample product in it. And she opened it up on Christmas Day. And she pulls out the candy. She goes, really? Halloween candy? Immediately no. And then she pulls out. She's like, what the hell is this? I've seen this in your office before. I'm like, okay. Go for two. I'm like, but there's one thing in there you asked for. So, you know, we're all messing up. You know, it's a learning growth process.
I feel like you can always smash flowers, right? Right, Signal?
I got flowers.
Smash flowers. Oh, yeah. Like it's a last minute. Yeah, you can. Like, I would say that's like a Hail Mary pass, which you love to do anyway. And the flowers is better than nothing under the tree or Halloween candy. You know what? My unidentified burnt object that I had 2 days ago, it really doesn't look that bad. Like, Kix, you're making my husband look great. And Nick, I mean, you just gave him a gold medal.
I got flowers. I got flowers the day before. I just gifted that. I was just like, here are some flowers. The move what I should have done was just bring the fucking thing and put it under the tree on the trip and just put it in a box so she didn't see it. What I just literally that would have changed the whole thing. So then the next morning we went to a nice lunch, Christmas Day lunch, before going over to family, my brother-in-law's house. And I bought some flowers at the hotel that we were at and brought them to the table, which
kind didn't really help too much.
Well, she cried.
Well,
I don't know if it was a positive thing.
I could see Nick like on Christmas Day, like faking a phone call. Like, no, you said you'd have it by today. You're ruining everything. You're ruining nothing, honey. It's fine. We're going to ruin everything.
That would have been a great idea. That would have been a great move.
Very eventful gift-giving scenario that you encountered, Nick. That was a lot of fun. Kicks, I feel like, has a little bit more of a track record to fall back on with his lady, I'm assuming, so I'm sure he'll survive it. Let's dive into this weather report. Clemente tells me that Kicks is doing the weather report today. Am I correct about that? It's Kicks, not Signal?
It's Kicks today.
Does he have a track record or a track record?
Today's Wednesday, the 27th of December. Nick didn't get a Christmas gift for his girlfriend. Market volume, 20.7 million. Blur, 15.9. OpenSea, 4.5. Solana, 10.5. Looking over at the top movers, most NFTs seem to be chopping across the board, but heavy metal is up 30%. Good thing I floored that yesterday. Solana Monkey Biz is up 18% to 118 SOL, and Rex Guy is down 20% to 0.4 ETH. Over the past 24 hours, crypto has been a roller coaster as Solana dumped 15% from its local highs down to 105 before recovering to 113 overnight. Ethereum, Bitcoin up 1% to 2%. Meanwhile, the top mover of the day is Polygon as the ETH-L2 token is up 19% to 105. That is a part of their conversion from Matic to a new token called Pol. And the market cap is $10 billion, highest price since April of last year. Looking over at gaming, Pixelmon has teased its next hyper-casual game, Pixel Pals, to be released in Q1 of 2024. And Imaginary Ones has shared that their Bubble Rangers game has reached over 100,000 downloads. Pixelmon has a 1.8 ETH floor, and Imaginary Ones are at a 1.15 ETH floor. Over on Solana NFTs, while other major collections are chopping, frog season is in full effect as Froganas and, of course, Solana Frogs lead the 24-hour volume, combining for almost $7 million in volume. Froganas are holding steady at a 16 SOL floor, and Solana Frogs are failing to get much traction with the Bitcoin Frogs derivative holding a 0.3 SOL floor. Lastly, crypto and NFTs reaches mainstream Twitter as the All In podcast Jason Calcanis responds to the old All In video about the VCs dumping their Solana bags and called Solana illegal imaginary money with no real world use case. And Elon Musk quote tweeted a video he tweeted back in March 2021 about NFTs saying, "Whatever happened to NFTs?" Question mark. That's it for the weather report. Back to you in the studio.
Fantastic. Go ahead, Nick.
His approach to just engagement farming is flawless. Like, he just absolutely dominates the engagement farming, and NFT people just fall for it every time.
It's like going to a schoolyard and making fun of Pokemon. You know, like, hey, you can't jay that. Hey, that's not fair. I have a Charizard. My Charizard's worth $400. You're wrong about that. Pokemon's not cool.
Absolutely. Real quick, want to shout out Blate, who said you got to set the bar low early in your relationship so she doesn't expect too much. And then he put in parentheses that he's been divorced twice. Thank you, Blate, for the commentary there. Excellent, excellent commentary. Nick can learn a thing or two from you. Test Tube Ted, optimistic that Nick's going to redeem himself New Year's Eve date night. Love to see it. Anyway, look, let's dive in.
We're together still at that point, you know? I mean, that's just...
That's a long way. That's a long 5 days.
Dude, there's some work to be done between now and then, okay?
That's hilarious. Well, and I hope it works out. Anyway, Kicks. So you tweeted yesterday that you sold 20% of your Solana bag. You sold your entire Topia bag for a loss. I don't even know what that is. Nick?
real quick, before he mentions that, I just want to congratulate myself. And at my tweet where I posted the picture of the Fregana, where I pretended and I let everyone on the show that was listening know that I didn't actually buy a Fregana. I'm just posting the photo to troll people. It did definitively mark the exact Pico top, like to the minute. That tweet was the trigger that literally sent this floor down 50%. And we're down 50% from that price. Anyways, I want to let Kix talk about him also marking the Pico bottom. So I want to get into that as well.
Well, Kix, so check it out. I don't even know what Topia is, but you sold all of that. You sold NFTs for some ETH. You're holding Prime and you're holding RON token. I'm also holding RON token and staking it. Second time around, I have a lot to say about that one. I'm interested to talk about it. You're also holding Ethereum and Bitcoin. What a surprise. And also AVAX, which we talk about on the show a lot. If I'm not mistaken, you're also holding Robinhood stock. Am I wrong about that, Big Dog?
Oh my God.
Now it's becoming a meme. It's just not for fun.
It's not even becoming a meme. PO's like, now the narrative has changed on Robinhood. It cannot stop talking about it. Literally, no one even replies to your comments about Robinhood. There's not a single commenter that's like, yeah, Robinhood, totally great trade.
He's totally become the Jehovah's Witness of Robin Hood, just like knocking on doors, trying to sling it to one of us. And Kix, good to know that you had some time in the afternoon to talk to Pio about Robin Hood.
I don't even have a lot of it. I have like $500 of it. I'm trying to convince myself that it's a good idea to get more because I actually do. There's a part of me that believes it's going to like 7X and I don't want to screw it up. But anyway, look, let's take it from the top. You sold 20% of your and Signal pointed out I missed the Daily Digest stories, which I always do when Clemente is not here. So real quick, ladies and gentlemen, Daily Digest, it's posted to X every morning. You can subscribe at thenifty.com to the email newsletter. OK, first story, Bonk and Whiff. I mean, I think actually out of anything that our audience is familiar with, I'm pretty sure these are things that they're extremely familiar with. Bonk and Whiff are both down 50% from all-time highs as Solana's recent volatility has not helped with their price. I know which horse I'd bet on between the two of them. Next story, Grapes are down 48% in the last 7 days to 1.3 ETH. Next story, Barry Silbert, old Barry from Digital Currency Group, and Mark Murphy have resigned from Grayscale's board. I read a little bit about this, and the speculation is that this is happening to prepare Grayscale or to position Grayscale in the best spot possible to potentially get approved for the ETF in January alongside organizations like BlackRock and others. And last story, Tim Draper, big dog Tim Draper, Bitcoin legend, he was quoted as saying, Bitcoin will hit $250,000 in 2024. We will see if Tim is being too aggressive with that prediction or too conservative. Anyway, Kix, 20% of your Solana bag gone. What's the story?
Tim's watching this go for the target.
Yeah, I just did a little end of year, you know, taking some gains, offsetting it with some tax loss harvesting, you know, sell another deed. You know, that's a nice capital loss right there. But yeah, it wasn't big sales or anything like that. I probably sold less than 10% of my bag total and then took enough tax loss harvesting to offset it. I just wanted to make sure that I have enough cash for Q1 2024. I think there's going to be some real plays to be had. You know what I mean? I want to have that cash position nice and healthy so I can make some moves. So definitely it wasn't like bearish selling, right? It wasn't like, oh, this is the top. Because if I thought it was that, I would be selling my Prime bag and I'd be selling my Ronin bag because those are both sitting real juicy right now.
How much of your Solana did you sell?
20%.
All right. Well, then that's
it's still on 80%. It's not like I floored it, you know? It's not like I attacked the floor.
Well, you made the right decision not to exit at 70.
Thanks to you.
That
talk
was
me out of that one. Yeah, no, just a little bit of selling so I have some cash. Because here's the thing, like you know, in Q3, Q4, I bought Ronin, my biggest bag now, $2. Bought in at 65 cents, big size, biggest win since probably middle of 2022.
And let's talk about that. So if you go and look at the history of Ronin, previous bull run, the whole bull run. So you had Axie Infinity Cook. Ronin token is the token of the bridge that Axie Infinity, which was the most popular game, but had several issues, game by Sky Mavis, was built on. And you were in a position to farm Ronin token for the better part of last bull run. And everyone was like, this is probably a pretty good move. I'm farming, you know, thousands of Ron, blah, blah, blah. What happened? The Ronin bridge literally got hacked by North Korea. Literally got hacked by North Korea. And I believe, Kix, am I remembering correctly, $200 million loss on that bridge at the time?
I think it was 600.
$600 million loss on that bridge. North Korea just comes through and jacks.
Pretty much like one nuke worth, I would say. Probably.
Well, there you go. $600 million loss, right? Anyway, users do get made whole eventually after Ethereum drops in price by like 60%. So it was easier to fill the hole once Ethereum dropped in price so significantly. Then Ronin token drops. It literally drops right after the whole market crashes. Yep. So Ronin's never seen like a pump until now. And now it's seen a pump. And there's another game that's popular on the Ronin chain now, right?
Pixels. Yeah, I think they were a Polygon game. Then they switched over to Ronin, and they're getting a lot of hype. They're Pixel Land. Remember the good old Metaverse Land back in the day? Their Pixel Land has been pumping. That's now a 2 ETH floor.
Damn.
So, yeah, they're cooking over there, and they have something like a $1 million a month run rate right now. They're making 25K to 40K a day. The Pixels team selling their VIP memberships, which lets you like unlock more Berry, which is their token, and lets you do more things every day in the ecosystem. So Ronin's setting itself up very nicely to be a top gaming blockchain, and that's been the play for me, is that they seem like a very good team, right? I mean, they have under their belt the most popular Web3 game of all time, hands down. Right. And now they're building basically a gaming publisher blockchain. And the price just has always seemed very undervalued, even still now, I think, compared to some of the other alternatives out there. And the big thing with Ronin is that it's not available on any centralized exchanges. It's not. So you can't go to Coinbase and buy it. You can't go to Binance and buy it, although there is rumors that it will be listed on Binance soon. You got to pretty much go to a shady exchange, or you got to bridge money to the Ronin blockchain to buy it. So there's a little bit of friction there, which is always nice for accumulating a position. But yeah, so my bags are packed on that one. That's been a huge cook for me. Prime over $10, got in that at two. So my gaming bags are sitting good. Once again, I didn't sell because I was like bearish on things. I wanted a tax loss harvest, make some gains, make sure I have some cash so I'm ready for Q1 2024, where there could be some big plays to be had.
I didn't know that there were rumors of this getting listed on Binance. I feel like it is. So Ronin, and like there's a big Filipino presence and like Asian presence associated with Sky Mavis, I feel like. So I feel like it's possible for it to get listed to Binance. And so that would be very, very bullish. Nick, what's going on?
Just, I find it fascinating. Continue.
someone asked, if you hold Ronin, can you stake, earn passive yield on it? Yes, Pio and I are actively doing that. It's pretty easy. You just go to their website, you stake to a validator, you get some commission, you get some yield.
Exactly. I want to go back to Nick.
What just happened?
I'm just getting a kick out of it. All right, so look, beyond that, you have AVAX token. What's the story? Kix.
Oh, Kix. AVAX, great chain, good chain, good token. We're launching our game over on AVAX on a subnet. We actually made the decision when it was at like $10, and I was like, man, we should get some of this, and we got some, but not enough. So a little salty there, because it'd be nice to have a validator, because that's the big thing on the subnets is, you know, everyone's, you know, validating, decentralizing the network. But AVAX is great, man. I mean, if you notice, all of the blockchains are kind of moving to this same business plan, which is essentially that you can like live on the main chain, right? And you can do stuff on the main chain. So that's AVAX C chain, or that's Polygon POS, or that's Arbitrum L2, right? Or you can roll up and create your own chain. And that's going to be the big narrative over the next year or two. That's why Matic is rebranding to Pol right now, right? Because they're basically going to create this whole ecosystem. That's why they were talking to Ape about making an Ape chain, right? They're like, okay, we can roll you up your own chain on top of our platform. That's what everybody's doing. One of the things is that's exciting about AVAX is they've been talking about that since like 2021, right? Like they built their blockchain for this kind of subnet future. And the use cases are really strong, right? Because if you're making a game, right, what do you need? You need like a stable environment for your players to play, right? In the past, with our game, some of the most frustrating things was when we're trying to like, our players are trying to do something in the game and they're like, what's going on the blockchain? It's like $40 gas to do anything, right? So when you're on like a bigger chain, you have to deal with that volatility in a good way, in a bad way. And it could be like frustrating at times when you're on your own subnet or you're on your own Optimism stack. You get a lot more flexibility. So I think it's going to be the trend. I mean, it's already showing it's the trend. Zygames, Sobi on Twitter is part of the Zygames team. They rolled up their own thingamajig, their own blockchain on top of Arbitrum. And they did like a $12 million node sale. So yeah, as you look ahead, I think the two big narratives on the blockchain front is going to be like build your own chain apps, and then you're going to have stuff like what Blast and Blur are doing. You're just going to have a lot of new opportunities popping up, which I think is exciting. So yeah, I think Ronan played a big part, and AVAX I think are both great plays that are kind of set up well for this next cycle.
Well, Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to ask, because I remember back in 2021, like you moved over to Polygon for gaming when everybody was doing gaming on Ethereum at that time. And I remember thinking, oh, okay, that's you know, odd. I haven't heard anyone doing gaming on Polygon. So now you're moving to Avalanche. What happened on Polygon to make you want to move over to AVAX?
Yeah. And it's nothing against Polygon at all. It's just that like Polygon is on the path so that you can start like building your own chains. Basically, like when we were making this decision, the only options were really like going with Arbitrum and like building our own chain on top of Arbitrum, or going with AVAX and building our own chain on AVAX. Here's the thing for AVAX. With the subnet, we can basically sponsor our users' gas. So our users aren't having to pay any gas to do anything at all, because that's just a terrible user experience for a gamer. Oh, I want to come play your game. Let me load in $100. Oh, wait, no. You still can't do anything. Now you got to buy this gas token. And every time you make a transaction in our game, you're going to have to spend this gas token. It's just a very unattractive user experience. And so being on a subnet, we can abstract away the user gas. And also because we're on our own chain, we can get a ton of scale. So just here's an actual example. So with Midnight Heist, if we wanted to run an 1,000-man tournament, right? On any L2, since it's an on-chain game, to run that tournament, it would cost us like $20 or like $30, right? So if we wanted to run a $1,000 tournament, right, half of our fee would just be eaten away in gas costs. On top of that, our users would have to be paying gas costs for every transaction that they do. So it's just from a costing perspective, being able to be on your own subnet and control the gas costs and abstract it away from the user is like a very clean user experience. But yeah, I'm still a big fan of the Polygon team. I think what they're doing with the whole Pol rebranding and restructuring is very interesting. And they're leaning a little bit more into the ZK Sync and the ZK Snarks. And they have a big partnership with Immutable, so they're doing Immutable's chain. But yeah, that's where everyone's moving. And just AVAX had like the technology to roll it out and make it very easy. So they have basically a software as a service to run your own subnet called like Ava Cloud. And it's like $5,000 a month to run your own blockchain, and they help you like set it all up and everything. It's pretty convenient.
Really good stuff, Kix. And look, I want to, whenever we have Kix on the show, I try to really kind of dig in and figure out what he's thinking about. I love to hear how you're thinking about Ronin Token. I got a question about Ethereum, So recently, obviously on Twitter, a lot of people have been vocal about their concern about Ethereum. It hasn't appreciated in price, while assets like Solana, AVAX, and others have been cooking in a very significant way. I'm not holding a significant Ethereum position right now. I actually converted 20 plus Ethereum a little bit over a month ago into Pudgy Penguins, because I decided that I thought it was a better call to have the Pudgy Penguins than the ETH. I'm betting that the Pudgy Penguins outperform the ETH. How are you thinking about ETH right now? Last cycle, I remember that you were a pretty, you were an ETH bull, kind of. I mean, not a maxi, but yeah, what are you thinking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think that ETH's in like a very interesting spot. I mean, I think everybody that's like, oh, the chain's dead and it's broken and everyone's going to go to these other things, I think those people are just trend chasers, right? Because were you saying that 3 months ago, right? Are you just saying that now because Solana's $100, right? I think the thing with ETH is that a lot of the value accrual this cycle can simply just go to the L2s, right? Like, what do you think could appreciate harder? Do you think Blast and Blast token can 5x easier than Ethereum can 5x, right? I think that there's just this massive ecosystem of apps being built on top. I think this cycle in general is the app cycle more than anything. And I think that's why Solana and AVAX are doing so well, is because they're positioned very well to be the chains that all of the apps are built on. That's why Ronin's it's going to be the app cycle this time around. But I think on Ethereum, I still hold a big bag of Ethereum. I'm trying to get to long-term capital gains on it. I'm happy to hold that Ethereum. I don't need to always be chasing the highest ROI play and taking a bunch of realizing a bunch of capital gains. That's just a great way to just erase a lot of your working capital. But yeah, I think Ethereum can still pump very well. But like, I think all of these, like, there's so many different plays on top. I mean, like, Polygon's now poll is technically like an L2. Optimism's an L2. Optimism has pumped 3x off of the lows in 3 or 4 months, right? You have Base now, right? You have Blur Pac-Man, who single-handedly usurped OpenSea. Everyone just thinks about that as an afterthought now. But if you pulled someone 2 years ago and you were like, yeah, this guy's going to come out of nowhere with his team and just become the dominant, and now he's going to go build an L2 and everyone's fading him. It's the funniest thing ever. It's like, he literally just went into the ring. Yeah, he beat the heavyweight champion, right? And then everyone's fading him on fight two. They're like, he has no chance, right? Like those kinds of plays. And what Blast is doing is super innovative, right? Where like all of the bridged ETH is going to be earning yield. For example, Arbitrum has $6 billion of ETH locked into it, I think, or various tokens. If that was all yielding, what's 5% of $6 billion? Is that like $30 million a year?
And it's just a lot. Yield?
Yeah, that could just be accruing value to the chain. So
$300.
There you go. Add zero to that, baby. Yeah, so I think that there's a lot of things that can probably accrue harder than Ethereum. But this is the whole thing that Ethereum's been saying they're going to do. They're like, okay, all of these L2s are going to be built on top, right? And now all of the L2s are here and getting built on top. And a lot of the value accrual is going to go to those tokens instead of like Ethereum, where Ethereum's more like the telecom play now, right? And now people are building the internet websites on top. It's like, do you want a long Amazon or do you want a long like AOL, right? And not talking down about ETH.
Once Amazon.
Again, exactly. I have a big ETH bag, but yeah, I don't know. I think people are really just butthurt because ETH has been ranging and all these other things have been pumping. But like, Bitcoin went up by 10% at the same time. It's not like Bitcoin people are like, woo, running laps on you, right? Like, these are massive coins. They're not going to move. You're right, though, Pia. I know you're shaking your head. Bitcoin has gone up a lot more than ETH this year. That's
no, I wasn't even shaking my head in that regard. What I was shaking my head about is that when people have maximalist level allegiances to assets, which you see with Bitcoin, you see with ETH, you actually see it with Solana, and you see it with certain NFT collections like Bored Apes, any appreciation is celebrated as if it's the second coming, right? Like, so if Bitcoin goes up by 4%, all the Bitcoiners start going, see, I told you, ha, 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 even though Solana's up like 600%, right? But the Bitcoiners will still celebrate a 4% gain on Bitcoin and basically say, like, Bitcoin's up 4%, you Solana people are dumb, even though Solana's up by 600%, right? Like that's how it works. The only time it doesn't work is if the things trade flat. I want to get Nick's take on some of this and Nick's take on Blur specifically, because Nick's got a ton of experience with entrepreneurship and software engineering. And that's, you know, kind of the Blur situation. But first, Kix, real quick, price action wise on ETH. To me, and I don't have an ETH position, right? I got like literally like $800 of ETH. It's a foregone conclusion that ETH's price is going to go up, because after the Bitcoin ETF is approved, they're going to do an ETH ETF. BlackRock filed for an ETH ETF already, and BlackRock has only ever had one ETF not approved. And it seems like everything is in place for the Bitcoin ETF to be approved. So I basically view it as impossible for Ethereum to not hit its all-time high again eventually. Do you agree with that? Or do you think this cycle, there's a scenario where it trades like under 3,000, because, for example, Nate Alex drew a comparison between CryptoKitties and CryptoPunks versus Ethereum and some of these other crypto assets that are pumping. Easy even brought up, he said, well, what if it doesn't go above 3,000? What's your thought on that?
I think it'll definitely pump, like, for sure. I just think people may have like unrealistic expectations. They're almost framing ETH like it was in 2020 when it was like $200 or less than $200, right? Yeah. Like the 2020 run for ETH was kind of like what Solana is experiencing now, right? Like, look at Bitcoin's run the last cycle, right? Like, I think ETH, it just keeps compressing. You're not going to get these crazy ROI gains. I think that's going to happen with Ethereum. I also think people just fundamentally don't even really know what they're talking about, because I always hear people saying like, oh man, all these idiots, they locked up $1 billion worth of ETH and Blast. That's why ETH's not pumping. How does that make any fucking sense? How does that make any fucking sense? Here's a number for you. Guess how much ETH is locked up in Lido staking? 20 billion, right? No one's like, oh, it's all locked up in Lido staking. Like, if anything, that should pump the price. People can't sell it then, right? Like, it should make price go up. But literally, the biggest feature that the Ethereum team is working on, weird name, it's called dank sharding. But the whole idea of dank sharding isn't even to make gas costs more affordable on ETH L1. It's to make ETH L2's gas go down. So if literally the Ethereum Foundation is their number one feature they're working on is to make L2s more affordable, where do you think the value accrual is going to go this cycle? Probably to the L2s more than the L1. But I still think it will pump. I think if everything else pumps, it's definitely going to go above 3K for sure.
So the technical side is something that I find interesting and is something I was thinking about yesterday. Solana, as far as I'm concerned, is the better UX right now of the L1s. And it's not just the UX for it. It's the fact that there's a whole community of people who are using the platform. There's network effects that come from all these chains. I mean, if you talk to or if you look at who's your Bitcoin guy that you follow?
Mike Alfred?
No. You say class of...
Michael Saylor.
Michael Saylor, sorry, I can't
put them. That's 2020.
So Michael Saylor talks about it. And I remember Naval discussing it when we, like back when Bitcoin was 100. The network effects of chains is really one of the most important things. And I think it's underappreciated. It's undervalued. The other thing that people look at is a lot of metrics people look at is the developer adoption. But all the charts that show development tend to be focused on amount of contributors to the open source code base of those chains, not the people that are building on top of it, which to me is the biggest indicator. I saw a thread that was basically like, hey, when you're focused on all this stuff, you got to always keep in check sort of your bag bias, essentially, which is saying like, okay, I have Solana right now is basically my biggest holding. And thanks to the price appreciation. But what are the flaws that exist with Solana? And are there opportunities that can be resolved? One thing that we've been seeing with Ethereum in particular, Ethereum is a giant beast that where when they try and make adjustments to it, it just takes years. Yep. That's the reality.
Yep.
And so when you look at that, like Ethereum's been going through their different scaling initiatives for literal years. We went through the bear market. We're back in the bull market. you've still got to pay a fuck ton of gas if you want to make a, if you want to make a transaction on L1. And Vitalik has been saying, well, put all this activity on L2s, which is definitely a position to be made. But I think Solana has proven that the potential of L1s is where most people want to be. Like, you don't want to hop through a bunch of, like, you don't want to go to Ethereum in order to go to this L2. Like, and that's the thing where I feel like the friction involved in that onboarding is so ridiculous. Like, if for literally any L2, that's one of the fundamental issues that exists. When I transfer money of an L2 off of Gemini or Coinbase or whatever service that I'm using to my wallet, it ends up in a wrapped Ethereum state. Like, it ends up on Ethereum on the L1, and then I still got to bridge it. So in other words, I don't have that like frictionless experience where I migrate the money off the exchange, I put it into a wallet that's based on the L1, and boom, there's my money and I'm off to the races. Those things are the most important. And I looked through, like, I saw someone outlining some of the flaws with Solana. I don't remember what they were. There's I don't know if it's Celestia or one of the others right now that has a lot of hype at this moment that I'm seeing from people, which essentially there is no, you can migrate directly from ETH and Solana over to this chain. And I'm blanking on what it was. I thought it was Celestia, but it may have been one of the others that's popping off right now. There's one SUI. I forget.
Sui and Say?
Sui and Say, maybe. Like, I don't know which one's.
Ansel?
No, I think it was Near. It's Near Protocol.
Near Protocol. We're getting near the moon, Nick.
Near is one of them. Well, I can't. So you're saying I can just migrate over my ETH?
From Ethereum. Yeah, from Ethereum. Yes, Solana, I'm not sure about. But I think because there's such this, essentially, Near is trying to sort of take that market share from Solana. I wouldn't be surprised if that's something that you can do on there as well.
So that's one of the problem is I can't buy it. I'm blocked. I'm personally blocked from Coinbase. And so I have to use Gemini, which is annoying. And so if they don't have those tokens listed, I can't buy it. But if I'm able to bridge, I can swap into it, which I would like to do. Regardless, whatever the, these are all theses. And the crypto trading market loves to make investments and moves based on just ideas, not based on practical like market activity.
Oh yeah.
Solana right now is experiencing this growth out of literal user adoption that we're seeing from Solana.
Yep.
And I think, I don't know if this round is where the Celestia and Sui and Near and all these other different protocols are going to like gain all of their adoption. I mean, theoretically, Base, falls into this category of places. And definitely. So people keep saying Kraken. I'm in New York. I can't do a damn thing. I'm literally like handcuffed trying to do anything.
New York's protecting you, Nick. Like, if you bought Near on Kraken, you'd get burned.
No, what I would have done is made a fuck ton of money and instead New York is, but are they going to reimburse me for like the investments that I want to make that I couldn't. Anyways, I'll wrap this up with just like the reality is there's adoption, user experience, all that other stuff, and community and network effects associated with it. You have to be monitoring all those things to figure out where is that going. And seeing Solana on the last run where a lot of people were operating on there, are like literally participating in the community. And there were a bunch of people who were like talking about it. We had Easy with an entire show built around it. It's unsurprising to see that like people would drive adoption into it now, but I don't see the Sui show right now. I don't see a bunch of people that are in it. Instead, I see a bunch of speculators who are saying this is the future and maybe it will be, but I need those other signals in order for me to like actually migrate to it.
But I think it's a good take. I think the space in general sometimes like cares more about like infra or like interesting abstract like technical things than like, okay, like how many users do we have that are doing things? Like that's the only thing that matters at the end of the day. Cause you can always come up with like a new technical application, a way of doing things, right? Solana and AVAX were both like built on the foundation of it, like Ethereum. They're like, we can do it better, right? And they did it better. And now all these other twos are like, we can do the infra even better than those, right? And it's going to keep trending that way. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You can have the coolest ice cream shop in the world. If you don't have any customers at the end of the day, you're not a business, right? So I agree with that, Nick, a lot.
It's interesting. It's hard to find data on like actual usage of these different chains, because to me, DAUs, MAUs, the same stats that Facebook, Twitter, now X, Snapchat, WhatsApp, any literal like social app is measured against in terms of its success is usage and like number of people and literal network effects. But we're not tracking blockchains in the same way. We do, you know, from, I guess what you could look at is the number of
wallets
and transactions. That's something that people keep track of. But even like I go to Dapp Radar, for example, they only track the ETH compatible
EVM stuff.
Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, well, how do I go track Solana against this?
It's like run, and also you get, if you don't have numbers, like then the people ask for the numbers. Then when you give the numbers, then people say, oh, well, that's all made up. That's like, that's the big fight against Ronin right now, is it's like they have 200K daily active wallets over there. And people are like, well, I got 12 wallets. So like, that's a fake number, you know, like that's just botters and multi-walleters and farmers. I still think, yeah, some of that stuff is true, but you can use those as like metrics. At least you can chart their growth relative to their growth, right? Even if you think there's people multi-walleting or whatever.
I mean, ultimately, there needs to be that metric that people can rally around in this space, because that is what happens in the stock market, is the exact same thing. And right now, this entire space, the thing that people rally around is price. It's not based on anything else. So like, it's pretty difficult to... I don't know. I feel like this space has been years in the making and still feels like it's in the dark ages. So like,
and as we're talking about Ethereum's issues, Ethereum is rallying now back above 2300, optimism up 21%, 80% on the weekly.
Wow.
$3.6 billion.
Wow.
We are responsible for this pump. You're welcome.
Well, real Nick, quick, Signal, just one comment on what Nick said about the space. I know what you mean, Nick, but I don't think the price thing is ever going to go away.
Comment on it, by the way. I just want to point that out. That's what she was prepared to do. What was up with the prioritization there?
I was just going to say that I don't think that the price thing is ever going to go away. It also happens in equities. People are just flat out more interested when the price goes up. Like, I remember when like Beyond Meat like was pumping and everybody was talking about Beyond Meat. It wasn't because they wanted the Impossible Burger or whatever. It was because of the price. Signal?
Maybe to Americans to just make something like 1,000 times more unhealthy for you. But hey, there's no meat in it. So
I know it tastes great. But actually, no, they taste great, but there's way too much salt. Way, way, way too much salt. Nick, I was going to say on your point, I think some of the things that people also rally around is really like metrics, like how much the protocol actually raised from VCs, who those VCs are, who the overlaps of the C-suite, which, you know, if you have people from the Solana board sitting on, say, the Near Protocol board, or you have people from USDC sitting on that board, it signals to the market, okay, that this must be legitimate. This has raised lots of money. This must be legitimate because these are the VCs that are backing it. I think sometimes those are some of the sort of superficial metrics that people are looking at, rather than, as you were talking about, looking at statistics around how many wallets are there. Because it's like, okay, there's 200,000 on Ronin and there's X amount on Solana, but I don't think that signals to people, okay, this is something I want to invest in. If you see A16Z is in there, then you're like, okay, that's something I should take seriously. So it's also like the types of metrics people are looking at in the market in order to signal, okay, this is something that they are willing to put their capital behind.
I mean, I completely agree. That's another... There's a bunch of signals there in the market, I should say, Signal. But
I like Blast Back by Paradigm.
Thanks for sneaking in that.
Do you know what? There's a great meme by Boldly Leonidas. He's done a great one where there's a pen and it just says pen backed by Paradigm. And then there's this little character who's like, I really want to buy it because it's backed by Paradigm. And it's so true.
It's like that meme, like sell me this pen. It's backed by Paradigm. Okay.
Exactly. Wicked funny. That Bold Leonidas is hilarious. Real quick. So Kix, we're going to do a little fun game that I just thought of literally right now. If you had to buy any of these three assets right now, which one would you plow money into? AVAX, Blast, or Ronin Token?
That's tough, man.
Let's go.
What's the time frame?
A year.
That's even harder. I would, if I'm going for highest risk reward return, I'm going with Ronin.
Damn.
I like all three of those a lot. And I'm invested in all three. And I think Blast is gonna do great, but I think that like Blast is gonna come out with like a $2.5 billion market cap out of the gate. Ronin is still at 500 million, right? So Ronin could 5x to just get to where I think Blast is gonna come out of the gate at. So
is it really only at a half a billion? Are you serious?
Not FDV, but like circulating half a billion. Yeah. So, I mean, you got to think that, you know, they in like Immutable X, right, which is like the biggest gaming publisher blockchain out there. I think their circulating market cap is pulling it up right now is $3.2 billion. So Immutable X, like the biggest gaming publisher blockchain out there, is $3.2 billion. You got Ronin at 500 million, you know. That's why I think it's like the undervalued catch-up play that people are probably not fully appreciating. But I think all three of those are going to do well. I mean, we're launching on AVAX. Shout out to AVAX. Great blockchain. But once again, they're $20 billion. They're like worth $20 billion right now. So like, you make the lower market cap things are the ones that can make you the highest ROI, right?
Yep. Okay. On the equity side, what do you think is going to outperform over the next 12 months? Are you ready? Are you ready?
Robinhood,
Coinbase, or Marathon Bitcoin mining?
Robinhood.
No way.
Phenomenal user experience. I absolutely love Robinhood.
I like how you're like, Robinhood, Marathon. Like you're just like throwing out random tickers. Like Johnny's like
toilet, random tickers. This is a huge Bitcoin mining company. What random tickers?
You were just like brainstorming. You're like or American Airlines.
No, I didn't pick American Airlines. I picked Marathon Mining because I thought that was a relevant one to pick.
If there was one software company that Pac-Man Jones would have founded if he wasn't in Web3, it'd be Robinhood.
His name is Pac-Man Jones. Oh, that was a football player in the 2000s that was known for running back kickoffs. He's a cornerback. Okay, Nick, AVAX, Ron Token, or what was or Blast?
It's Ron Token.
It's Ronin.
Yeah, but it's spelled R-O-N, Ron.
Okay.
Although maybe they do say Ron. I don't know.
I'm
in AVAX, so that's where I'm at this moment in time. Here are some random tickers. Let's play a game of here's some random tickers.
Why don't you like this game? Twilio, I think people like us.
Twilio, Verizon.
No, we're not. We don't like those.
Shopify, or Disney.
How about Nvidia, Tesla, or?
I just Nvidia or Tesla. Play the game, PO. I set it up. Which one?
I don't know anything about those tickers, dude.
Were we on this show when someone was like, "Yeah, we need to change our customer support to Twilio," and I was like, "That's not exactly what they do." But
one of the commenters pointed out, Nick, you never play the games that I come up with on the spot during the show.
Okay, well, I did. I said AVAX. Okay, that was my selection. That was the answer.
You said AVAX and proceeded to shame me for the fun game for nearly a minute.
Hey, let's also point out, I just want to mention something here. I basically might as well have called the eight bottom, okay? So that's a token that I've been looking at as well, which I think has some potential here. It does seem to pump alongside ETH. Interestingly, it follows similar percentages. It doesn't outperform ETH, which is somewhat confusing for me. Blur has been just stagnant, sitting at 50 cents. It's been like a stable coin for the past like couple of months here, sitting between like 45 and 55. But I'm trying to think of any other tokens that are interesting here. I don't know. Anyways, but yeah, I mean, I don't.
On what timeline though? What are you looking at that? Like a short, short 1 day scalp or a little bit longer?
Oh, I'm just holding it.
You're still holding. Wow.
I don't think Ape.
Yeah, not a fan.
You don't think it goes to three?
I think it could go to three if everything else pumps harder.
Dude, you just got to pump it up. You know what I'm saying? You got to pump that up.
Well, here, how about you do, since you're the holder? Since you're the holder of
$50, which makes me a whale. That's a bigger holder than PO is of Robinhood, which you can't stop discussing.
I'm trying to figure out. I have this instinct that because it's a top 10 custodian of Bitcoin in the United States, and it's nearly, I did a test the other day. I went on Coinbase Advanced Trader and I went on Robinhood and I said, okay, if I'm going to buy $1,000 worth of ETH on each one, which one would I get more? You do get you get 0.001 more ETH on Coinbase. So it is still definitively cheaper, but I was surprised at how cheap Robinhood was. I thought actually you would probably get hosed if you bought crypto on Robinhood. I was surprised. I didn't know that they were legitimately doing a cheap transaction.
Robinhood, I thought, makes zero, they make the fees free.
Well, it's a hidden spread. As
just
most
like Pac-Man Jones does, Blur, 0% fees.
So you looked up what the effective spread was on your transaction?
Well, I looked up if you put in $1,000 on both platforms, what do you get in return? Which I mean,
after fees and the spread.
Well, just what do you get? Like yeah. You can throw that in a spreadsheet and do the calculation on the percentage fee. But I knew there was a hidden spread. There's got to be a hidden spread, and yeah. I was stunned that it was almost as cheap as Coinbase. That's pretty crazy. That actually makes Robinhood maybe the best dollar cost averaging platform, but you can't buy Solana on it because we know that Robinhood has no backbone. We do know that, right? They delisted. No, they don't. They don't have any backbone. But is that a problem? I don't know. I mean, it's not. It's a problem if you have a bunch of crypto on the platform and the U.S. government. Sorry, Nick?
They're no nuts. Whereas I'm throwing my nuts on the table. You know what I'm saying?
Bunny, did you like that? Bunny, I see you laughing. Did you like that one?
He loves that. He loves that. That's like his new catchphrase, man. You should make a t-shirt.
Dude, following him on that shitcoin journey was really entertaining. I'm not going
to
lie.
I went from $1,000 to $9,000 and I didn't sell it. That's the worst part of that whole
thing.
Chasing
trip. The dream, man. Chasing Valhalla. Hey, Nick, why don't you pitch us on what's the ape bull case here?
I want to hear it.
Not looking good already.
Well, the price goes
out of the gate.
So the expectation is the price goes up. You know, okay. That's, I didn't put a lot of money into it. Okay. So that's where we're at this point in time. By the way, nuts on the table, borderline near all-time lows. And
could it be a good spot, a good entry point?
This is a question that I'm just sort of wondering, is this an opportunity at this point in time to really, oh my God, this chart is awful, dude. I mean, it is an awful chart.
Real quick, when you're losing money on nuts on the table, you should probably also use unsellable NFTs, ladies and gentlemen. So I know you have what is the equivalent of an NFT version of nuts on the table in your hidden wallet. Unsellable is the platform that's going to pay you one penny for that NFT that nobody else will pay you anything for and will give you an automated solution as a result for tax loss harvesting at the end of the year, right? So you don't have to work with your accountant and be like, explain to him like, oh, so I can't sell that one. There's no liquidity on it, blah, blah, blah. Like I'd have to spend money to move it, blah, blah, blah. Unsellable is going to pay you one penny for it. So that is going to help you offset the gains that you had this year in any category, crypto, NFTs, or stocks. So if you are interested in tax loss harvesting and saving money on your taxes, go to thenifty.com/unsellable. Do this before the 31st, thenifty.com/unsellable. Before the 31st in this tax year to execute on all that offsetting, that tax loss harvesting that I know that you should do. If you're listening to the show, you probably have an opportunity to do that. Oh, Nick's got a chart here for look at the candles.
Look how I still have 1.8 million of this thing.
Wait, so you made a 10X, almost a 10X, and you didn't sell it?
Correct, because
I didn't even pull out his initial.
Well, oh. I was no, I pulled out $700 out of my $1,000, but I lost $300 on this. I just felt like, dude, it pumped 10X. I can't go and just dump it on the Discord. Like, why not? I don't know. It just feels immoral potentially.
That's what happens when you start preaching your own bags. Then you start feeling, you know, you gotta keep it close to the.
I was enjoying just telling people that they're tiny nut boys.
And I noticed you doing that. I think you did enjoy it more. I think that you would have not even sold it if it 50X. You'd just been having fun with it. Yeah, that's why I don't do the, you know, I don't get this game. You know, I need some sort of fundamental grounding on my trades in order
to. My goal was $100,000. That's what I was trying to. I was trying to turn 1,000 into 100,000. And I was like, just hold it.
Would have been a great thread.
I mean, it would have been a great post. And here's how I did it. What I did was I bullied the shit out of people on Twitter and in the Discord into calling them tiny nut boys. Was what I did there. We'll see. I'm not doing any more of these trades, by the way.
Well, I was surprised to see you do it. I figured it was something that you just found entertaining during a weekend where you had car trouble. And it sounds like maybe some gift trouble too. I really thought it was fun. I really got a chance to enjoy the whole thing without losing any money or making any money, which worked for me. I mean, you just kept tweeting that you needed to have huge nuts to be able to participate in this. And you were writing it in clever ways. It was awesome. I wonder how Redbeard felt about it. Cause he is the founder of Nuts on the Table. Am I correct?
Yeah. And he was supposed to send it to us. I did some art. You create some art and you receive some nuts on the table. I created some art. He didn't send me any. Dude, I was one of the biggest advocates of that token. And
maybe the biggest.
Well, I mean, what a jerk, you know? I can't believe that he didn't send me anything. And I'm just a little bit pissed. As I said at that time, I said, only the select few have balls big enough for enduring this volatility. To the big nuts on the table goes the spoils, as they say. You know, those were some of the those were some of the quotes.
That's beautiful. I wouldn't be surprised if Dickens wrote that one. That was pretty good. I mean, Tale of Two Cities or Nick's tweet about nuts on the table. I don't know. Kicks, before, since we have you, we love having you. We don't have you every day anymore. What equities are you looking at, dude? Some people like to buy stocks. What do you think of Amazon?
I'm not like, what do you think of the biggest of Apple? What do you think of Exxon, Kix?
I'm more of a shitcoin trader on the stock market. I'm not a good stock trader. I'm just not. I understand crypto. I make good money on crypto and NFTs. That's where I actually like my stock portfolio is at like the lowest it's been in like 2 years. Like if I need to pull money out of the market, I pull it out of stocks instead of crypto. But yeah, man, I like the hood buy. That was nice. I follow this guy, Trader Stewie. He said, buy a firm that's up like 80%. So that was a nice trade there.
But a sauna guy been around. Has he given you any good tips?
I haven't been to the gym lately. He did hit me up bragging about Caspa, right? Which like quadrupled in 2 months after he gave it to me.
Is that the mattress company? Caspa?
Huh?
Is that the mattress company?
No, no, Caspa, the blockchain, but like it's almost like a Bitcoin.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Now you're thinking about Casper, which is a great mattress.
I didn't know if you were saying Casper with a Boston accent. What about Caspa? My cousin in Southie bought that one.
I need to hit up Sonic Guy because he's usually good for about 50% win rate. You just got to pick the ones. Like The cast was a great trade. The other one he gave me was some biotech stock. And he's like, yeah, dude, they're like, you know, putting things in people's ears to make them hear or something like that, you know, and I lost $5,000 on that one. So he's not 100% win rate, but yeah, I'm not good at stocks. I suck at stocks. I lose money when I buy stocks generally.
I'm pretty good at stocks.
What's your stock pick?
Discuss. Guy. We want to hear it, big dog.
Well, I've made a lot of money on Twilio. That was a great call. In terms of my biggest trades, I'm also just good at getting out of those positions. That's like a key thing with all this. I think that that's going to be the same name of the game with crypto here.
Well, certainly.
So, I mean, I don't know if I outperformed the S&P just this year. You know, I've gone from, I'm up like, you know, over 50% while the market is.
You could have just long NASDAQ.
So the majority of my portfolio is in a retirement fund is what I actually put lot of my stuff in. And that's VTIVX, which is 2045 target retirement fund. Nice. That's where most of it is. And I'm up 134% on that.
Damn.
But my biggest gainer is Microsoft, where I've had a decent amount. What's that?
Big cap.
Microsoft I've made a bunch with. You know what I've lost money with is Asana, but I had a small amount of my portfolio. Basically, the way that I handle it is like Shopify is one that I'm really interested in here. It's had a huge pullback. It's been kind of surprising how low it's gone. It pumped back during COVID, getting up to $170. Right now it's back at 77. It dropped as low as $26, which is crazy.
Damn.
And right now it's at 77. Shopify to me seems like probably one of the best ones. They have $100 billion market cap. Their annual revenue is $5.6 billion. That is a high price for a company like Shopify. That said, the year before, they were at $4.6 billion. So they're growing still at 20% per year, which is very interesting. Their net income is down, but I'm assuming that that's primarily from investments. Their last quarter, they had positive net income.
Why don't you buy Carvana? It's up 10x on the year. They have like big towers of cars in them.
I'm not interested in rental. Used car.
You know what's up only 60% on the year, Nick?
A lot of upside. What's
Robin
that?
Stock.
Well, here's another thing: the entire market had a ton of upside this year. Okay.
Yeah. Honestly, ETH was like the worst buy you could have made, and I put a good chunk in there. It's not even barely beating the NASDAQ at this point.
Meta had a good, was a great trade. Look, I, when it comes to stocks are something which I prefer long-term conviction, where I think the price is low. I look for value. I buy them and I hold them. I don't want to trade. Yeah. The same thing actually really is best played with crypto. Buy something that has long-term conviction that you have. You can make money on the flipping, but dude, so many of my YouTube suggestions now are like people being like, here's how to play airdrop season. And I'm just like, shut up. like I don't have time to move all my money between all these different chains. The real way that whole system, like, so I'm going to go do a bunch of swaps on some wallet on some other like platform or something like that. I'm good. You know, I'm good on that side of things. I have a job. So like either like, do you want that to be your job? And for
some people
are that poor. No, some people are that poor, PO. I do. I do. Like
the way I would frame, cause I've been learning a lot about the psychology of this. A lot of people will do anything to not have a job, which I empathize with. However, it is a lot easier to change your financial situation if you have income. I mean, crazy idea. If you have income, you can take the income you make and you can plow it in a high conviction place. Crazy, crazy idea. And on the weekends, you can do your airdrop farming. So it is always better to have income. I know this is a wild concept, ladies and gentlemen.
That is the foundation of all wealth.
income. Anyway, all of a sudden we're
signal. What were you going to say?
No, I was just saying, like, I kind of disagree with what you're saying on the airdrop farming, because I think it's like some people are cash rich, time poor. Some people are time rich, cash poor. And farming is great for people who are cash poor, time rich, because then you can just go, because then if you do it right and you do it diligently, you become cash rich, hopefully, if it works out. And then you go to the next level where then you're able to start doing more fun things. And then you can go to the next level where you start doing things like angel investing. And so, like, in the end, it's being in the trenches, but it's also a way to get out of the trenches. And I totally agree with what you're saying, Pio, that you need income. But, like, when you're in this market, and, you know, I spoke about this last week, and I'm looking at, you know, almost four pages of opportunities that you can take, like, that's a lot of income you're going to need if you really want to just spread out all yeah. those convictions, you know? So sometimes, I don't know, like the whole farming thing can work out for people who have loads of time but don't have enough cash. I think it's a good way of spreading yourself, like diversifying yourself without having to be another person in the market.
Yeah, there was like a guy that took 3 ETH and farmed Blur Season 2 and made like 100 grand. You know what I mean?
Yep.
With like 6 grand. Like, that person made more than most people make from a salary. So can I do a quick game?
Yeah.
Yes. And we'll close. We'll close after the game.
Okay. What percentage of people in crypto do you think has a sell target on their bags? Signal, you first.
Oh, I'm going to go like less than 5%.
Woo! I like that one. All right, Pio?
Look, it's a hard question for me to answer because I think that a very significant, like, this is the percentage.
Because you don't have a sell target for Bitcoin, so you feel attacked. And I understand that.
No. I don't have a sell target for Bitcoin. And I don't feel attacked. What I was going to say is I think a lot of people really view the market as I'm going to trade this stuff for fiat. And they don't think that, like, Bitcoin is a world-changing technology.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 15%. Damn. Wait, I'm sorry. Do you have the answer to this?
No. I don't know how you'd even get the answer. I think it's low, though.
So this is an example of a not-so-good game, Kix. You see,
I think it's just an interesting psychological insight, because I think this is why a lot of savvy people can make money on the markets, because most people don't even have a price point that they're going to sell at, and so they never sell. And they round trip their bags, you know what I mean? So I think the answer is more people should have a sell target.
Bunny's got his hand raised. Bunny.
Yeah, question for Kix. How do you win this game?
Well, you win by selling the top.
How many
have a sell target?
I got a question. How many crypto people do you think have placed their nuts on the table?
The answer to that is quite a few. Quite a few have done that, for better or for worse. And Nick, you're one of them, buddy. Look, ladies and gentlemen, whether you're trading NOTT or NFTs, well, it's not whether you're trading. It's actually just if you're trading NFTs. Unsellable NFTs is a platform that pays you 1 penny for NFTs that are you are unable to sell on other marketplaces because of no liquidity, which I know that you have. So we've partnered with Unsellable NFTs to help you offset your tax liability for 2023, but you got to get it in this year. I personally am going to be using this platform in the next couple of days to lock this up before year end. Unsellable will buy your unsellable NFTs for a penny and mark it as a loss on your 2023 tax bill. You can write off gains that you've had from this year, whether it's from trading crypto, NFTs, or stocks. So if you are interested in tax loss harvesting and saving money on your taxes, go to thenifty.com/unsellable to learn more. Make sure you do it by December 31st in order to have it apply for your 2023 taxes. That's thenifty.com/unsellable. Okay. Make sure that you check that out, thenifty.com/unsellable. Look, ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. We do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time each and every week right here on Twitter Spaces. Also available on YouTube, also available on video on X platform. So you can see it right in your X feed. Check it out. Make sure you subscribe, like the video. We appreciate everybody listening. We'll be